think it's weird. Now, I know some of you are thinking right off the bat, the preacher has finally named a series after himself, right? Now, here's what I'm hoping by the end of this series. I'm hoping that you would say that about me. And I'm hoping by the end of the series, you will be able to say that about yourself as well. Now, here's the deal. If you would Google the word weird, and I would suggest you really don't do that, okay? Because there's things on there you probably don't want to see. But if you happen to Google that word weird, here's what you're going to find. You're going to find weird news. You're going to find weird facts. You're going to find weird laws. You're going to find Weird Al Yankovic, all right? You're going to find weird science. You're going to find weird names, weird pizza toppings, weird pictures, weird pickup lines, weird videos, weird piercings, weird tattoos, weird people, and Lady Gaga. Lots of pictures of Lady Gaga. She's weird, I guess. See, most of us have spent a majority of our lives trying to resist the title, the word, the designation, weird. I mean, from early on in our lives, we have done everything in our power, in our ability to fit in. We have strived, we have been driven to be normal. I mean, we want to be cool. We want to be hip. I mean, we want to belong. We want to fit in. We want to be normal. And you probably would agree with me that if someone was to call you weird as a kid, it would have been devastating, right? And some of you might have some of those childhood memories, right, that you're just devastated by because maybe you were that weird kid. You know, maybe your mom cut your hair with the Flowbee. You know what I'm talking about, the Flowbee? You know, that revolutionary home hair care or home cutting system? And maybe you had to go to school every week with this bald spot on the back of your head from the Flowbee. And so your friends called you weird. Or maybe in high school, you were trying to fit in. You were trying to break into that cool section, that cool crowd. And instead, you were more like Napoleon, all right? And you were always weird. Or maybe for some reason I just don't understand, your parents decided to move you in the middle of a school year to a whole different side of the country where people thought you talked weird. Now, I've taken 31 years to get over this in my life, all right? But when I was 8 years old, my mom and they sent me, we all moved to Indiana from Athens, Georgia. That reminds me about something. I was going to say something about Athens, Georgia. I fumbled the thought. I'm sorry. I'll come back to it later. Right? But anyway, they moved us from Athens, Georgia to Evansville, Indiana in the middle of the school year. And when we showed up, I showed up there. My mom put me in this really tiny, very, 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 very conservative Christian school. And I know it was the middle of the school year, and so she was trying to make sure I adjusted well, but I'd been living in the South, and so I kind of had a little bit of a Southern drawl to my talking, and we showed up there, and phonics was not easy for me, all right? Because I don't know if you realize it, those of us from the South and those of us who talk like Southerners, and I've kind of gotten rid of it these days, but we add extra syllables to many of our words. I mean, we can make a one-syllable word into three syllables, and I learned this really quick in the first grade because I remember my very first spelling test. The teacher asked us to spell words, and we're writing them down, and she said, spell the word sight. All right, now, a little Southern boy, I'm like, sight. You know, that's how I sight. And so I'm sitting here trying to do the phonics thing and sound out, sa-ha-i-t, sa-ha-i-t. And there's a silent H, I thought. So I'm sitting here, I write down on my paper, S-H-I, you can finish it, all right? Needless to say, there was an emergency parent-teacher conference at this conservative little Christian school. And I was now officially the weird kid, all right? Now, most of us spend a majority of our lives striving to fit in, striving to just be normal. And so what we do is we end up spending a majority of our lives talking like normal people, acting like normal people, doing what normal people do. And what are the results of that? The results of that a lot of times are a life that's empty and painful. Now, here's the reason we moved from Athens, Georgia to Evansville, Indiana. My family got blown up by a divorce. And so we moved up to there, and I was about 8 years old, and my whole life just kind of flipped upside down. I immediately had to grow up. That was the ramification of that in my life. I had to grow up really, really fast. I had to start worrying about things that typical kids didn't have to worry about. Think about things that typical kids didn't think about. I mean, where are we going to live? I mean, what are we going to eat? Am I going to have any friends? Where am I going to go to school? I mean, my sister and I, are we going to get Christmas presents? Is my mom going to be okay? Am I ever going to see my dad again? I don't get to play ball. I mean, questions going through my mind, and I hated it. I mean, I hated the fact that I had to wear hand-me-down clothes and wear the same thing about every other day. I hated the fact that the kids in the class knew I got free lunch. I hated the fact that I lived in this cruddy little two-bedroom apartment, had to share a room with my little sister. I hated it. And I hated feeling left out. I hated feeling like I'm an outsider. I hated feeling weird. And so I made a decision in my life at that age that I wasn't going to be weird, that I was going to be the best normal kid that I could be. And so I set on a path to be normal, and I was good at being normal. I was good at fitting in until this really weird guy came along and told me about another weird guy who said and did some really weird things. And at age 17, I gave my life to Christ. But guess what? I mean, I kind of did one of these things where I kind of had, you know, the weird and normal switch. You know what I'm talking about? Where I can kind of flip a switch off and on. And so for years, I could flip that switch. I flipped the weird on Sunday mornings. I'd flip it to weird when I'm out with my youth group friends. I'd flip it to weird when I'm at youth group, but I'd flip that switch on Friday nights to normal. I'd flip that switch when I'm hanging out with my teammates. And I took that switch, that schizophrenic life, I took that with me to college. And because that college, I mean, that's the place where everybody celebrates being normal. And I thought I had everything. I thought I was a rock star of normal. I was a college athlete, did the fraternity thing. And I was living big, living life, living normal. But here's what I found at the end of that year. Emptiness, hurt, heartache. And I didn't understand it. I mean, I thought I had everything. I mean, if normal was what I was supposed to get, then I had it all. Why am I feeling this way? And that's when I discovered that normal, it just doesn't work. And that's when I flipped that switch all the way to weird and broke it off. And I came home and told my parents, I am leaving Indiana University. I'm leaving my dreams of being an attorney, and I'm going to Bible college. And I had people in my family go, why? What are you, you're going to throw your life away? You have so much talent. Why would you do that? You're weird. And I went and told my teammates, I'm leaving the team and leaving running to go and to be a minister. And they said, what? Why would you throw away scholarship? Why would you throw away your talent? We're a good team. You're just weird. I went and told my friends, some of the guys in the fraternity. You can just imagine how that went over, all right? I mean, they looked at me like I had two heads. What? You're doing what? You're just weird. And then I went off to Bible college and there I met a really smoking hot girl named Ann. Yeah. Get my brownie points this morning. And we decided early on in our relationship that in our relationship, in our marriage, in our family, in our finances, in our faith, we didn't want to do things the normal way. That we wanted to be weird in a God way. Now, let me ask you this question. Raise your hand. Do you know someone who is weird in a bad way? Someone who's weird. Don't point at them this morning, all right? Someone who's weird in a bad way, okay? Raise your hand if you know someone who's weird in a good way, all right? A couple of you. Well, here's the deal. I don't want to talk about people who are weird in a bad way. I don't want to talk about people who are weird in a good way. I want to talk today about people who are weird in a God way. You see, when Jesus was on the face of the earth, man, he taught like no one else had ever taught before. He said things that just blew people's mind. You talk about weird, Jesus said things that just blew the top off the weird meter. I mean, this guy said mega weird things. I mean, he said things like normal says, don't commit adultery. But I say if you lust about someone in your heart, you've already committed adultery. Weird. He said things like, if you want to be first, you got to be last. Weird. He said, you know what? If someone hurts you, you got to love them. You got to forgive them. You need to pray for your enemies. Weird. He said, if someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn your left one and let them strike you again. Weird. If you forgive someone, just don't forgive them once. Forgive them 7 times, 70 times. Weird. He said, if you want to get, then you got to give away. Now, normal says, if you want to get, you got to take. Weird. He said, you know what? Normal says, don't commit murder. But I say, if you have anger in your heart against your brother, you have already committed murder. Weird. And today I just want to look at two weird things that Jesus said beyond those. And so if you have your Bibles, I want you to open them to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, Matthew is the very first book of the New Testament. And here in chapter 7, Jesus is in the middle of this thing called the Sermon on the Mount. And I want to read to you what he said in the middle of this really weird sermon. Here's what he says in verse 13. Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And notice these words, many enter through it. many enter through it. Now, I just want to stop right here for a moment, because here's what Jesus is saying. He's saying this is what's normal. This wide road, this wide gate, this is what most people do. This is the road that most people travel. They go through this wide gate. They walk down this wide road. And what a lot of people do to make themselves feel better is they say, you know what? I'm doing what everybody else is doing. And what Jesus is saying here is simply, don't go that way. But if you do go that way, guess what? That way is going to lead to destruction. But then he goes on, listen what he says next. He continues, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. And notice what he says here, and only a few find it. Only a few. Church, listen, if your life is pretty normal, if your life is just like everybody else, and just normal like everybody else, then it could be that your life, your path, is on its way to destruction. Because you see, when you choose the narrow road over the wide road that normal people choose, normal people are going to look at you. Normal people are going to go, you're weird. You're weird. So through this series, here is my challenge to you. My challenge to you, I want to invite you to follow Jesus and become weird in your faith. Because I think most of you would agree with me that even practically speaking, if you look at the world we're living in, that you would agree that normal just isn't cutting it anymore. Normal isn't getting the job done. I mean, let's look at normal. I mean, what's normal these days when it comes to family schedules, right? Overcommitted, overbooked, overwhelmed. That's normal these days. You feel like you're spinning plates, right? You got a plate on your foot, a plate on your knee, a plate on your hand, a plate on your head, and you're doing everything you can to just keep those plates up in the air and spinning. And you know you're eventually going to drop one. And what ends up happening is we end up focusing our time and attention on what's urgent and not what's not important. You see, what's normal is we're busy, busy, busy. Now, what's normal when it comes to finances these days? And I'm just saying what we all know. What's normal when it comes to finances is we pursue a lifestyle. We pursue things in our life that we think are going to bring us happiness, that we think are going to bring us pleasure. And so we spend on a lifestyle that we cannot afford. And so what's normal? Normal is credit card debt. Normal is maxed out. Normal is stressing over your finances. Normal is living paycheck to paycheck. That's what's normal. What's normal when it comes to relationships these days? And again, I'm not judging. I'm just stating what you and I, what we all know is normal. 80% of young Christian adults have sex before they're married. 80%. That's normal. Weekend hookups, spring break hookups, friends with benefits, sexting, internet pornography, it's normal. And waiting till you're married, that's just weird. I mean, everybody knows you gotta test drive the car before you buy it. You know, so people move in, people just pretend that they're married for a while, because then if things don't work out, no big deal. And what's normal when it comes to married relationships? Unfortunately, what's normal these days, we hear more and more and more, are affairs. And it's just breaking marriages up, breaking families up. And what does it lead to? It leads to heartbreak. It leads to hurt. It leads to despair. It leads to divorce. I mean, what's normal in marriages? 50%, over 50%. That's normal, lead to divorce. So what's normal when it comes to faith? I mean, what's normal when it comes to church and what we believe and how we live it out? What's normal is that people reject God. What's normal is people try to remake God into what they want God to look like for them. What's normal is in churches all across the country, we have this lukewarm, mediocre, spiritual consumerism. It's all about me, shallow faith that says, God, I'll give you 1 hour a week. But that's all you get. I mean, don't ask me to serve. Don't ask me to join a neighborhood group. Don't ask me to give any extra than the 20 bucks I throw on the plate. Don't ask me to help someone down the street, around the corner, around the world. Don't ask me to talk to my neighbor about Jesus. Don't ask me to get radical. God, I'm going to give you 1 hour a week. And that 1 hour, it better be about me. It better make me feel good when I leave. Church, I think we all would agree that normal just isn't working. It's not working. And the proposition, this entire series, is two statements. And I want to read these to you, and they're in your bulletin, so I want you to fill in the blanks with me, because these are important. Here's the first one. If you want what normal people have, then do what normal people do. If that's what you want in your life, if you want what normal people have, then do what normal people do. But here is the second proposition. But if you want what few people have, then do what few people do. If you want what few people have, then do what few people do. Remember what Jesus said? Wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through that. That's normal. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few people find that. And I want you to think about it. And if you want normal, then live like normal people live. But if you believe that there is something better, you believe that there's something different, you believe you are tired of that normal wide road and you're ready to get on to that narrow road, you're ready to put that normal life behind you and get meaning and purpose and direction and eternal destiny, then you are going to have to do what few people do. You've got to choose to do what few people choose to do. And the teachings of Jesus in Scripture, the teachings of Jesus in the Bible are going to lead you to a very narrow road. And so if you want to walk the wide road, then just ignore the teachings of the Bible. Just ignore Jesus. Just follow our culture. Just follow the world. But if you want what few people have, then you've got to choose to do what few people do. You've got to choose to take this book seriously, because church, you can have something so much better than normal. Now, Ann and I have been married nearly 17 years. It's been an incredible 17 years, but I'm just going to be honest with you. We've had our moments. We've had our tough times. The marriage and the house at the Cullen family is not to Shangri-La or marital bliss all the time, all right? But early on in our marriage, early on in our life together, we decided that we did not want what normal people had, because we didn't want the results of what normal people were doing. And so we made a choice in our life that we wanted to do what few people did in order to get what few people got. And so that meant we had to do some things a little different than the people around us. And so early on in our relationship, she and I decided that we were going to save ourselves from one another until our marriage night. Now that is weird. I mean, that's just weird. People are like, no, you got to make sure you're compatible. You got to make sure you guys are, you know, you have chemistry. You got to make sure you have all of that. And yeah, it's hard. It's difficult. It is, you know, a lot of temptation there. But ultimately, we were able to accomplish that. And people were like, weird. Why would you do that? Now, we made up for lost time after we were married, but we made sure that we waited to that day. Another thing that we decided that's a little weird is our finances. I mean, early on in our relationship, in our marriage, we decided we didn't want to have more house than we can afford, more car than we can afford, more stuff than we can afford. We want to make sure that we were living within our means, and that means that we couldn't live on maxed out credit cards. We couldn't have all of this debt. Now, what that meant is we had to make some decisions. We couldn't have and do some things that the rest of our family may have been doing. We couldn't go with our friends to things that they wanted to do. But ultimately, we said we want to live within our means. Now, I know that sounds un-American these days, right? But that was a decision we had to make. And I know people looked around and said, you're weird. Why would you do that? Another decision we made when we had kids is we were going to sit down together and have a meal together at least 5 times a week. And that's been our goal ever since the beginning of raising kids in our house. And wherever we're at, when we sit down together as a family, whether it's in our dining room on the back porch or at Moe's with some friends, we always open with a word of prayer. Now, normal these days is eating dinner in the back of the minivan on the way to soccer, right? That's what's normal. But we made a decision that we were going to be weird, and that we want to make sure that time, and it was a priority to us. You see, what Jesus said is if you want what few people have, then you've got to choose to do what few people do. And Jesus said, broad is that road, wide is the road that leads to destruction, but narrow is the road that leads to life. And you see, weird people, they don't think like normal people think. Weird people don't think like normal people think. In fact, let me share with you what one of the weirdest people in the Bible said. This is the Apostle Paul. Listen to his words. He says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. You hear that phrase? Changing the way you think. It goes on to say, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I love how the Message paraphrases this. The Message says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. And I love those words. Because see, if you want to make a change to anything in your life, the way you do your job, in your parenting, exercising, eating healthy, addictions, habits, hangups, boundaries, your walk with God, it all begins right here and how you think. You see, how you think is how you behave. And how you think is what you become. Weird people don't think like normal people think. Therefore, they don't live like normal people live. They have different motivations. They have a different worldview. They have a different perspective. They have a different destiny. They have a different end game in mind. They have an eternal mindset. What's normal today? It's all about me. I'm the center of the universe. I'm the center of the world. It's my needs. It's my wants. It's my desires. And what Jesus is saying, what he said 2,000 years ago, wide, wide is that road. But if you want what few people have, you've got to choose what few people choose to do. And let me tell you, church, we need a lot more weird people in this world. We need to get weird. In fact, I want you to say this with me. I want you to repeat this phrase with me out loud. Here we go. We're going to break this up. You ready? Weird people don't live like normal people live. Let's try it one more time. You're awake this morning, so I'm going to take advantage of this, all right? Weird people don't live like normal people live. See, when you take Scripture seriously, when you pursue God daily, guess what? You are going to be different. There's no way around it. You are going to be different. But if you continue, you're talking like normal people talk, you're living like normal people live, you're doing what normal people do, then maybe you don't know the God of this Bible. Because when you pursue him, when you study Scripture, you cannot remain the same. It changes you from the inside out. You become a different person. You have a different perspective. You have different goals and dreams. You get this stuff called the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control that comes from the inside out. Listen to what Peter said. Peter said these incredible words. Dear friends, I warn you. Now notice what he calls us. He says, you are temporary residents and foreigners. Keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then, even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior, and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. Now listen to what the message says about it. It says, friends, this world is not your home. So don't make yourselves cozy in it. Isn't that great? Don't make yourself cozy in it. Don't indulge your ego at the expense of your soul. Live an exemplary life. You see, that's the way weird people live. They don't settle into this world. I mean, while they're here, while they're living on earth, they try to live for their ultimate purpose, true life. And so while I'm on my soapbox this morning, let me go ahead and just jump on this one. I am sick and tired of normal Christianity. I am sick and tired of normal Christianity. Lukewarm, mediocre, it's all about me, spiritual consumerism, go to church on the weekends, but never, ever, ever intend to do anything about what you hear. Never intend to do anything about changing your life. Now, the reason why that sickens me so much is because sometimes, to be honest with you, I see it in me. I see that in me sometimes. And I grew up like a lot of you grew up. I mean, get up, go to church, stand up, sit down, sing, go home. Don't ever intend to do anything. Don't ever intend to change. Don't ever intend to be any different. As long as I'm happy, as long as I feel good when I go home, then it's been a good morning, right? But you know what Jesus said? Something weird. He said, if you want to find life, you have to lose it. Weird. See, normal says go to church 1 hour a week. That's normal. But when you begin to pursue God 7 days a week, when you begin to worship God 7 days a week, you will not be the same. You will be different. So you've got to choose what few people choose in order to get what few people have. See, Jesus said you've got to choose. Wide road or narrow road. Wide gate, narrow gate. Destruction. Life, normal or weird? See, if he wants what few people have, then you've got to do what few people do. But if you want a normal road, then just keep doing what normal people do. And what normal people do is they pursue all kinds of stuff, don't they? They're always pursuing the next buck, the next promotion, the next power grab, the next high, the next buzz. They're always chasing after something. And what King Solomon said, and this is a guy who had it all, what King Solomon said is, it's just like chasing after the wind. You'll never catch it. You ever see a dog try to chase its tail? Just running in circles, nonstop, because they'll never catch his tail. That's what Solomon is saying. You'll never catch it. Reminds me of a story about a pastor who had one of his church members come to him. And this church member was very overweight. And he came to his pastor and said, Pastor, would you help me lose some weight? The pastor said, sure, I will be glad to help you with that. And he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get up tomorrow morning and I want you to put on your running clothes, put on your running shoes, and wait for a knock at the door. So that's what he did. The next morning, he put on his running clothes, put on his running shoes, and waited for the knock at the door. And the knock at the door came, and he went and he opened the door, expecting to see his pastor. But instead, there was this drop-dead gorgeous, beautiful, really fit, in-shape woman standing in front of him. And she said to him, Pastor told me to let you know, if you catch me, you can have me. And so she took off running. The guy said, shut the door, and he took off chasing after her. Well, this went on day after day after day after day after month. About 6 months in, this guy is a lean, mean, 160-pound running machine. And he wakes up this morning, he puts on his running outfit, puts on his shoes. He says, today is the day. Today is the day I'm going to catch her. And so the knock at the door came, and he goes and he opens up the door. But standing in front of him this day was a woman who was the size he was when he started. And she said to him, the pastor said, if I catch you, I can have you. I'm so sorry. You see, that's my perspective on wide gate, wide road people. They're always chasing after something and they're never going to get it. But then there comes this moment. There comes this moment where all of a sudden there comes some clarity and they see the end of the road that they're on. And in that road is painful. It is purposeless. It is hopeless and empty. You know what Solomon said about that? Listen to what he said in the book of Proverbs. He said these words, there is a way that seems right to a man, normal way, wide road, but in the end, it leads to death. In the end, it leads to death. You see, church, eventually normal will just hammer you. Eventually normal will just take you down. And 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, if you want what normal people have, then do what normal people do. But if you want what a few people have, what a few people choose, then you choose to do what a few people choose to do. He simply said, you've got to choose. Choose the narrow road. Choose the narrow gate. And you say, but Jason, what is this narrow gate? What is this gate all about? Well, let me read to you what it says in the book of John. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. I am the gate. Now, this is a really interesting verse because in this section, Jesus is calling us, calling people sheep. And he's referring to himself as the shepherd. And some of you are thinking right now, okay, Jason, I'm a bit confused. Okay, if Jesus is the shepherd, but he's also the gate, is he the shepherd or is he the gate? Yes, he's both. Because right here what Jesus is doing is he's using this incredible image. And in the first century, it made sense. So let me explain to you what he's talking about here. In the first century, when shepherds would bring their sheep in at night, they'd put them in a pen. And they'd make sure they're all safely in that pen at night. And the only way that a sheep could get in or out of that pen was through a very narrow little gate. It was only big enough for one sheep at a time to be able to go in or be able to go out. And so then at night, when all the sheep were safely within the pen, what the shepherd then would do would be to lay down in that gate. So no sheep could go out. No predator could come in without crossing over the shepherd. So you see, the shepherd was the gate. Jesus is our shepherd. Jesus laid down his life for you and me. And what he's saying is we got to choose. We have to choose life, choose meaning, choose purpose. There can be so much more than normal. There is a narrow road, there is a narrow gate, and he made it available to everyone. Yes, it is normal, but it is open for every single person to walk through. Choose what few people choose to do so you can have what few people have. And church, we've been praying about this moment in our service because I know there's some people out here today going, normal? You're right, it's not working. It's not working in my relationships. It's not working in my faith. It's not working in my finances. It's not working in my family. I'm broken. I'm hurting. I feel empty. I need Jesus. Or maybe there are people out here today going, you know what? Jason, you're right. I've become lukewarm. I've drifted. At one point in my life, I took a stand for Jesus, but then life happened, and I just started to drift away. I went to college, or I got a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or got married or got kids, and I began to walk away. I began to pull away from God, and maybe it's time for you to walk back, to fall in love with Jesus again. You see, today what I want to do is do a very purposeful, and I hope meaningful decision moment for us, for you. And it is going to be a little bit weird because typically when we do a decision time, and we don't do a ton of them, when we do them, we turn the lights down, we have everyone stand or bow their heads, we play some music to make it as comfortable as possible for everyone in this room to maybe make a decision. But today we're going to do something a little bit weird, a little bit different. Because you see, church, if you can't be weird in this place, with people around you who will applaud and accept you for being weird, then how in the world can you ever expect to be weird anywhere else for Jesus? You gotta be weird here. So here in a moment, a count of three, what I'm going to simply do is I am going to ask if you have a decision to make where you're sitting to just stand. At the count of three in just a couple minutes. To just stand where you're at. If you have a decision to make for Jesus today, you say, Jason, you're right. I need Jesus in my life. I need the shepherd. I need to walk through that gate. And today is a day I need to do it. Or if you're here today and you're saying, you know what? I have walked so far away. I don't know where I'm at anymore. I am lost. I am aimless. And I once had a relationship and I want that relationship back. And if that's you today, then you can stand up and make a decision today. And thirdly, I got a third decision because I need some radically weird people to join me in something over the next couple months. I need a few of you who are willing to maybe sacrifice eating, who are willing to sacrifice some of your time, who would join me in fasting and praying for this church. So three decisions you can make today, and those are weird decisions. Those decisions won't put you in that category of normal. Those will all put you in the category of weird. And so guys, men, if you're in this room right now and you're going, I'm too cool for this, and I don't want to do this, I don't want anybody to see me when my life is not together, I just want to challenge you right now. Be weird. This church needs weird men. Your families need weird fathers. Your wives need weird husbands. We need weird leaders. So don't pass this moment up. And if you're here today and you're going, Jason, I hear you, I understand, and I know I need to get over on this narrow road, but right now I'm on this wide road, and I'll go over there, but I want to get my life together first. Let me tell you, you won't get your life together until you get over here. You can't do it without Jesus, so quit trying. Step through that narrow gate. Grab his hand. Walk with him. So here in the count of three, I'm just going to ask you to stand where you're at. I have people around this room that are ready right now to bring you a decision card so you can write your name down, write down your decision, because today is a day we have to define ourselves. It's simple. It's a choice. Normal, weird, wide gate, narrow gate. So on the count of three, won't you stand for the one who stood for you? Won't you stand today to make a decision? One, two, three. Come on, let's let them hear it. Let's celebrate our weirdness together this morning, church. Look around this room. Look around at all your weird brothers and sisters. Stay standing. Don't sit down. Stay standing for me. We've got cards coming around right now. We've got cards coming around right now. Fill those out. If you made a first-time decision, I want you to write that down. If you recommit your life, write that down. And after the service, I want you to come up here. Our neighborhood guys, elders will be here. We want to pray with you about those two decisions, okay? So don't leave this room without bringing that card up here. Don't leave this room without talking to one of our staff to pray for you, encourage you, and help begin the discipleship process in your life. And if you sign up today to be a part of a fasting prayer team, then thank goodness for you. This church needs you right now more than ever. And I just ask you, can just drop those in the offering plates when they go by today. And then I will be in contact with you later this week. Church, this is exciting because we are being what we are called to be. We are called to make decisions, to choose a path, to follow a path that is narrow, because we all want what few people have, and we all want Jesus. And I'm so excited and so proud of you guys today. Would the rest of you go ahead and stand up with us right now? Let's pray together as we continue to go to God in worship. God, I'm humbled. God, I'm just humbled by the life change that we see here this morning. God, I'm humbled by the fact that you sent your son to lay down his life for me and for us so that we can walk to you, so that we can be a part of your family. And God, right now, I'm just so encouraged by those in this room that have made that decision for the very first time in their life today. God, I just want to celebrate with them. I just want to rejoice with them as I know you are right now. And God, I pray for those in this room that have said, you know what? I've walked away from you and it's time to walk back. And God, I pray that they will just be today from this point forward, that decision will be something they change from the inside out of them. And they will just drive a stake in the ground today and say, God, I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to be with you every day of my life. And God, I'm thankful for those in this room who want to be extra, extra weird and fast and pray for their brothers and sisters. Fast and pray for this church. We need their prayers. So God, we just celebrate this morning the weirdness that God, you have called us to. And God, we thank you for that shepherd. We thank you for that gate. We thank you so much for your son, Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.